A TV show gets lousy ratings, and it's history. On the other hand, if enough viewers ask, the network will change its mind and keep it on the air. Does prayer work the same way? With a National Day of Prayer coming up, do huge numbers make a difference?
Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come.
Hello, everyone. This is Kenneth Richards. Here at the Voice of Prophecy, we're joining many other groups in counting down the days to this coming Thursday, the National Day of Prayer. And all week long, Lonnie and I are holding in reserve a great little book we'd like to send free of charge to every listener. It's entitled Prayer on Target, compiled by our friend George Vandeman, longtime host of the It Is Written television ministry. Why not give us a call, toll free, and we'll send you this complimentary book in celebration of National Day of Prayer. Here's the number, 1-800-872-0055. That's 1-800-872-0055. Now let's join Lonnie for today's message. Flooding the president of CBS.
Not too long ago, the CBS television network introduced a new Saturday evening drama entitled Touched by an Angel. Now here, right in prime time, was a weekly message about God and love and heaven's intervention in the lives of men and women on planet Earth. What an exciting development for people who believed in God and in heavenly messengers. Well, there was just one problem. Well, actually two. First of all, critics didn't care much for the new dramas. The special effects were kind of hokey, they said. The stories were rather predictable and trite. And frankly, not a very big audience was watching. Even for Saturday evening, where Nielsen expectations are the lowest of the week, Touched by an Angel was flying past too many households. It looked like the show was going to be canceled. But then a pretty impressive flood of letters began to come into CBS headquarters. Those who were watching really did like the program. Church groups were grateful for it. CBS was getting words of praise from a lot of people who appreciated the effort made to produce values-oriented programs and give America two back-to-back hours of positive television with Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, and the new Angel dramas. Network executives decided to give the program a second chance, and the storylines did improve dramatically. And all at once, wouldn't you know it, ratings were way up. Listen, a couple of weeks ago, we noticed a little chart showing that the spiritual drama, Touched by an Angel, was the 11th ranked program for the entire week, with nearly 21 million viewers. And believe me, Hollywood for sure pays attention to those kinds of numbers. Well, friends, it looks like Angels Roma Downey and Della Reese are safe for now, at least. Well, where am I going with this little television illustration? Well, friend, this week includes a very special day here in the United States of America. Thursday, May 2, 1996, is National Day of Prayer. All across the nation, people are pausing to turn their hearts toward the throne of heaven. Organizers of the event are hoping that millions of us, including you and me, of course, will be active participants and that we'll pray. Well, that's wonderful, you say. If you're one who listens to the Voice of Prophecy, you undoubtedly already believe in prayer. This is a ministry built on prayer. We receive letters 365 days a year from people both asking for prayer and reporting back how God did clearly intervene in their lives as a result of prayer. Most of our listening audience, I'm sure, is a praying audience. But now here's my question. Is there effectiveness in many people praying? That's our question for this Monday, just 3 days before the National Day of Prayer. Does it make a difference if more people pray? If 30 million men and women pray for peace instead of only 10 or 15 million, will that move heaven to act when it wouldn't have acted otherwise? In other words, is God like a CBS network executive who looks at a just-released computerized chart that says, "Wow, more people are tuned in than we thought. I guess I will keep this program on the air. Looks like I'd better really bless America, even though yesterday I didn't really feel like it. I can't buck the tide of all these Nielsen numbers flowing into my office. What a friend, is God like that?" I'm reminded of the story of a little girl who was making her Christmas wish list known. I don't know if she was talking to her daddy or to the department store Santa Claus or who, but she said to the person in charge, "I want a magic wand." And then a very determined look came over her face. "And I want one that works." Well, friend, I hope it's a settled issue in your heart that prayer works. I don't just believe it works. I know it works because I've experienced it working in my own life. By the time you hear this program, I'll have just returned from the Philippines where God answered our prayers and brought tens of thousands of new believers into the kingdom of God. I'm saying that even before our plane lifts off to go to Manila because I know God is going to answer our prayers. Friend, prayer works. We believe what the Bible says in James chapter 5 where we're promised, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." In the Living Bible paraphrase, it adds this inspiring little insight. The earnest prayer of a righteous man or woman has great power and wonderful results. Well, still we have the question. Does prayer work more if more people pray? Does this miracle of prayer have a piling on effect where God is snowed under by the sheer weight of numbers? Do no's turn into yeses if the volume grows loud enough? It's interesting to note that this concept of a national day of prayer was really formalized back in the year 1952. Congress and President Harry S. Truman passed Public Law number 82-324, as I read in the notes sent out by the 1996 organizers. And of course, our nation was deeply concerned about the Korean War, which was raging right at that time. The Cold War with the Soviets was just entering its most threatening stages. So Americans were concerned. Canadians were too. There was plenty to pray about then, just as there is now. Would millions of Americans praying together make a difference? Would it help if a president prayed? Well, that was April 17 in the year 1952. 6 months later, in October of that same year, peace negotiations over the Korean conflict broke down. And it wasn't until a year later, April of 1953, that a settlement was finally reached. Nearly 34,000 American soldiers lost their lives. South Korea buried 415,000 men. The communists suffered nearly 2 million deaths. And of course, more than 40 years later, our conflicts with the Russians are just now thawing. So it becomes a hard question when we ask, does it make a difference when a whole nation prays? Can we get rid of pornography or crime or the spread of AIDS if enough of us pray? Or does God simply let these trends spin themselves out regardless of all the prayer numbers we can amass? One of the deepest books I've ever read on the subject of prayer is entitled The Meaning of Prayer by Dr. Harry Emerson Fosdick. In Chapter 4, Prayer and the Goodness of God, he writes, "Prayer really changes things." Now that's good news, isn't it? But then he adds, "It cannot change God's intentions, but it does change God's action." Now, what does it mean by that? Well, I guess we could accept that 1 million Americans praying or 100 million Americans praying together this coming Thursday couldn't change God's mind about something. He says very clearly, "I am the Lord, I change not." That's in the book of Malachi 3. So you see, friend, we can't whip up a big PR radio campaign and put on bumper stickers and pray this coming Thursday, May 2, and get God to do something he wasn't otherwise desirous of doing. God isn't one to be persuaded against his will. But is it possible that all of our prayers can enable him to do some of the things he was waiting to do, some of the great acts of intervention he has been hoping to do? Now, that's the option this Thursday perhaps provides. Well, friend, we're going to spend this entire week discussing together, but one thing I do know is this. We can believe the promises of Holy Scripture. If the Bible says the prayer works, friend, then I believe it. Regardless of whether or not all of God's answers to me are something I can immediately understand. Regarding the issue of many people praying, I accept it as Bible truth when it says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." So friend, I believe it when the Bible tells us something miraculous happens when even two or three people pray together. If 2 million or 20 million people pray together, then it's a money in the bank truth that the presence of Christ there is real and tangible. But now a question. Listen, despite God's always constant good intentions toward us, do our prayers open up doors that would otherwise stay closed? As we approach National Day of Prayer, that's our question for tomorrow. Right now, let's hear an encouraging word from one of this world's greatest prayer warriors and beloved Christian leaders, Dr. Billy Graham.
As we look around at our world in turmoil, I want to urge you to join millions across the country in setting aside the first Thursday of May as a special day of prayer. Congress has designated that day as the National Day of Prayer, and certainly now is the time we need to seek God's mercy, forgiveness, and leadership for ourselves, our families, in our nation, and in our world.
Join Dr. Graham and millions of other Americans across the nation and right in your own city to celebrate the heritage of our nation, as well as pray for the future of our land.
If my people will humbly pray, then freely then will I forgive, and I will heal them.
The annual National Day of Prayer, Thursday, May 2nd.
Thank you, Dr. Graham, and you as well, Lonnie, for reminding us that prayer does work. Friend Lonnie and I certainly urge you to pray today and this coming Thursday, along with millions who unite together to approach heaven's throne. And remember, we'd like to send you a gift copy of George Vandeman's compilation, Prayer on Target. These four chapters will teach you how to make your prayers include the four vital ingredients, powerful praise, dynamic thanks, specific intercession, and positive petitions. For your free copy of Prayer on Target, write The Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. That's Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. For our Canadian listeners, the address is Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. And remember, you can call us toll-free at 1-800-872-0055. That number again, 1-800-872-0055. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. We'll really appreciate it. Be sure to join us tomorrow as Lonnie shares more Bible truth about prayers that God can only answer when we appeal for His intervention and His decision. Here's our title, An Appeal to the Third Base Ump. Tune in again and we'll find out what that's all about. Until tomorrow then, this is Kenneth Richards along with Lonnie Melashenko reminding you that God really does love you.
It's 3 days till the National Day of Prayer. Secretary of Education Richard Riley.
The faith and the power, though, of God's love, as we all know, does not come to us in neat and tidy packages. Indeed, we find faith most often in those terrible, jagged moments when we are confronted with the potential for great loss. We pray, and I suspect we pray rather constantly, for the safety of our children, for example, a prayer for the loss that we don't want to bear. My wife, Tucky, and I have both needed prayer in confronting cancer. In faith, we seem to find courage.
Remember to honor God as you pray for our land on the National Day of Prayer, May 2nd.
And I